we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
And welcome, everyone, to Across the Mooniverse. I am Maddie.
And I'm Mike.
And we have had quite the holiday season. Happy Moon Day!
Yes, we have. Happy
it's
Moon Day.
It's been a minute. It's
yes, unfortunately, it's taken us a while to get to...
Yeah.
There have been some delays in getting to this episode. But this, we didn't want to rush it. We wanted to do this episode justice. And so today's episode is season one, episode 23.
Exactly halfway through the first season, because there are 46 episodes in the first season. So here we are. Halfway point. Yes. We made it, fam. Woo!
Episode 23, Wish Upon a Star, Naru's First Love. So that's what this episode is going to be about. The title says it all. And so the episode opens, of course, with the normal opening sequence. There's nothing new in that. And then it begins with a montage of Naru and Nephrite together. And then in a sweet, soft voice, you hear Usagi saying, "Love is so pure, so beautiful and gentle." And then all of a sudden she starts yelling, "How dare you take advantage of a young girl's innocent feelings to further your own selfish plot? I am Sailor Moon. And I'll arrest you for your romance scam." But I like that it's a little different than the "In the Name of the Moon, I'll punish you."
I mean, she takes romance scams very seriously. Don't you pretend to be a prince in Nigeria.
Very serious.
She'll find you.
Exactly. So, and then it goes into the normal, "I'm Usagi, you know, I'm actually a superhero." She does that whole thing.
Usagi Tsukino desu.
"Oh, well, I'll just have to do my best."
Yeah. We love her. Precious little plucky Usagi.
The episode actually begins with a tilt down to people playing at a, it looks like a public swimming pool. And Naru's dangling her legs in the pool, and she's daydreaming about Masato Sanjuin. And then Usagi splashes
her. I have some feelings about that.
About the splashing?
No, about the Sanjuin. I don't think you should be I don't think this is a good idea. He's a little unsettling. Gives you a little bit of an eerie "I'm gonna kill you" vibe.
Oh, I know. I know. So Usagi splashes her and Naru's like, "You're such a kid." And Usagi's like, "What? And you're not?" And Naru's getting all high and mighty. And she's like, "No, and you want to know why? Because I know what it's like to be a grown-up in love." And Usagi just stares at her with her eyes turn into vertical lines.
Yes, very like, Bomberman. And then she gets hit by a beach ball. It's great. I like that when Naru says, "Usagi, you're such a kid," Usagi's first response is, "Well, I try my best. Wait a minute."
Right.
He's like, "Of course I'm a kid."
And Usagi says, "Hold it. Are you actually in love with someone?" And Naru's like, "Oh, come on now. Of course I am." And then Usagi says, "Who then? Is it Umino?" "Hold on.
Not Umino.
It better not be Tuxedo Mask or Motoki. I've got dibs on those two." And
I got right, she does.
"No, not them. I'm not a kid anymore." All right. And she's like, "All right, I guess I might as well tell you. It's Mr. Sanjuin." And
Usagi
like,
is not happy about that. She's like, "Excuse me, you're into who?"
Right. Why is she so surprised by it? I mean, this is, you know, Naru was at the shopping mall to meet with Tuxedo Mask. And she's, you know, she got zapped by Nephrite then. And then, Usagi saw her dancing at the ball with Nephrite.
Yeah.
You know, but we already talked about this. She just registered that Naruto was dancing with somebody, not that it was necessarily that she was dancing with Mr. Sanjuin. Even though she was wearing no disguise, she was dressed exactly like he was dressed when he was dressed up as Tuxedo Mask.
Well, this is Usagi. Usagi doesn't pay attention to this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, it's just, she doesn't. She doesn't have facial recognition. She's just like, oh, but look, Naru
is her best friend. You would think that she would have not be so taken aback by this information at this point. But anyway,
I think Usagi was kind of hoping that it would be over because Naru has seen Mr. Sanjuin be less than ideal a good chunk of times now, and so maybe she's hoping, oh, Naru's moved on, and then Naru's like, no, I'm still into Mr. Sanjuin, and she's like, so what now? You're still into that guy?
Right.
Well.
And so Naru's like, are you overreacting because he's not a boy? I know he's a little old for me. Yeah, okay.
A little
old. How old is Nephrite, do you think?
Nephrite is in his 20s because they're all in their 20s. Let me get
okay.
Nephrite.
Okay.
Sailor
all right.
Moon.
Yeah,
I'm asking
the answer. Naru's 14. Naru's 14.
Nephrite, according to
that's a good question.
Is about 19. He's 19.
He's about 19. Okay.
Yeah. Still not a good look.
Still
not a good look. She's 14. Yeah.
But however, you know, to be fair, how old is Mamoru?
Mamoru is not as old as Nephrite, I don't think. Hold on.
Is he 17?
I don't remember. The only reason, and before you go, Maddie, how could you not remember? Isn't he your favorite character? I can't remember because his age fluctuates depending on whether or not you're talking about the manga or the anime. So,
okay,
I give myself that grace.
All right. Fair enough.
He is,
I'm just saying
in this first arc, he is 16 years old.
Okay, he's 16. But he's already going to college and he lives alone.
He's a smart ass motherfucker. Yeah.
Because he was loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So Naru says he's a little bit old for me, but that doesn't matter when it's love. And Usagi's like, oh boy, listen, I know all about him. He's no good. And Naru is like, oh, forget it. I shouldn't have told you. And she goes, harumph, and walks away.
Yeah, which I mean, I harump all the time walking away from my friends.
Exactly. All right. So then what happens? I believe next
we cut to Usagi is now talking.
Are we at Shrine Hino?
Yes. Yeah, we are at Hikawa Shrine with Rei and Ami, and Usagi is talking to them about how she's really worried about Naru's crush on Sanjuin and is trying to figure out how they can tell her that Masato Sanjuin is actually Nephrite General in the Dark Kingdom.
Right. And Luna's just like, man, this is getting complicated. Rei is like, we need to tell Naru that Masato Sanjuin is Nephrite. Rei has no doubt about what needs to happen. And but Amitan is saying, you know, maybe shouldn't we just wait and see if it becomes a problem?
Yeah, and, can we just like not confront it? Because it might not be as big a thing as we think it is, you know, or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then Usagi says, Naru feels so strong about him, she might not believe what we tell her. And then Rei says that we won't know how she feels unless they would tell her. You know what I mean? Rei's like, you know, that's kind of a moot argument, you know, that she might not believe it. You know, the point of the matter is is you need to tell her. Somebody needs to tell her that he's bad news. And he asks Usagi, you know, what they should do. And Usagi says, I guess I should tell her. And Luna says, oh, come on. Make up your mind. And
and then Usagi says, don't worry. Just leave it all to me.
I'll think of something. Now he's in good hands.
And then she pounds her chest. She tries to say confidence. And it makes Luna worry even more.
When Usagi's in charge of something, it's time to worry.
Yeah.
All right. So now.
And then.
So now, next up is the Dark Kingdom. And finally. Yeah. Finally.
Beryl is pissed.
Beryl is pissed. Beryl is pissed.
She's so mad.
She's super pissed. She's like, no matter how many times I try to summon Nephrite, he doesn't respond.
He's ghosting her.
And then they cut to a wider shot, and you can see the peanut gallery there, and they're like, Queen Beryl is angry. And somebody says, she's so terrifying.
They're all like, oh, shit. Boss is pissed off. Everyone, Lilo, do you have some copies to make? Let's go make some copies.
And then Beryl's like, that's it, Nephrite, you're finished. And then Zoisite materializes. And
Zoisite
materializes. Yeah. And he just says to himself, it looks like Nephrite's luck has finally run out. The poor thing.
Oh. And then we go over to Nephrite, who is I wouldn't say panicking, but he's close to panicking. He's a little worried.
Yeah.
He acknowledges that energy is no longer an option. He can't just keep going he can't pull a jadeite and just keep gathering energy. That's not working anymore. He's gotta get the Ginzuisho, the silver crystal. He's gotta make sure that this is going to, he's gonna steal Zoisite's thunder. He's going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to deal with Beryl anymore.
Zoisite goes from being in Queen Beryl's presence to materializing while Nephrite is kind of fretting about what he's going to do. Zoisite shows up to start goading him about, so what are you going to do? You know, basically, he basically recommends to Nephrite to just give up. You know, that she should just quit trying anything further. It's just going to make things worse. And then Nephrite tells Zoisite, I'm going to get the silver crystal. And then Zoisite gets all butthurt. And he's like, but that's my job. And
no,
Nephrite's
I'm
like,
supposed to be doing that.
Whoever finds the silver crystal first, right. Nephrite's like, whoever finds the silver crystal first wins. You know?
You know, get made into a race. That always works to motivate the crowd.
Yeah, and then Zoisite's like, Nephrite, you'll pay for this, and he disappears. And then we end the scene at the mansion with Nephrite saying to himself, to think, I let the likes of Zoisite get to me. How pathetic. And
then he creates his next evil creation, which is not a Yoma. He actually does not summon or create a Yoma this time. Instead, he consults the stars to create the Dark Crystal. And not the cool one with Skeksis. This Dark Crystal just is designed to find the Ginzuisho. And in this process, when
that would
he pulls
great
out
if,
the Ginzu-
if all of a sudden there were Gelflings and there were Skeksis.
Yes!
That would have been fantastic.
Gelfling. Yes! This is so good.
I love the Gelflings. Gelflings are fantastic.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway, movie. I saw that in the theater. That's how old I am.
The Dark Crystal, as Nephrite is sitting there, like, musing on it, I guess you could say, a little image of little Miss Naru pops up. And he says, is she the one that's going to lead me to what I need?
Right, yeah. It's actually, it's an image of Naru in her bikini. It's the same image that we saw of her.
Scandalous.
At the swimming pool. Yeah. And her bikini matches the ribbon in her hair. You notice that? They dressed Naru up in green a lot because she has red hair. I don't know if you noticed that. Not all the time, but there's quite a bit of green for Naru.
Anyway, that makes sense. That
so dress. The Dark Crystal has, that's pretty common. I had a girlfriend with red hair who wore green quite a bit. So the Dark Crystal shows him an image of Naru, and then we cut to Kunzite is comforting Zoisite. Now we just have to talk about this about the elephant in the room here. Zoisite is a very effeminate character, and
he is.
And
in
Kunzite
fact,
has basically got him in. He's got him in his lap, essentially.
Yeah.
Zoisite is despondent because Neprite's gonna, move in on his silver crystal action, and Zoisite is there comforting him like a man would comfort another man if they were in a homosexual relationship.
Well, spoiler alert. they're definitely in a homosexual relationship. So much so that in the original dub of the anime, they changed Zoisite into a female character. They just basically had a female voice actress do his voice and changed all of his pronouns and all of that stuff to make it look a little less risque for the kids in the 90s.
Right. This is the American kids.
Can't do boy love.
So they didn't think it was a
problem. American kids can't understand.
It wasn't a problem for the Japanese kids.
No.
I don't know. In the 90s, it would have been pretty controversial in the United States.
It's true.
For that to be in a kids show. I don't know if it's addressed in children's television now. I don't watch children's television, so I couldn't say.
Yeah. I can say, being somebody who has several young children in their lives, it is definitely more prominent in this day and age. There's so many kids shows that address it as just as it should be, a normal thing that happens in this world.
Right. Exactly. So I definitely picked up on that. That they're fond of one another.
Maybe just a little bit.
Kunzite basically tells Zoisite to quit worrying. If Neprite finds the silver crystal, they'll just steal it from him. It's that simple.
Yeah.
He need not worry. But he does suggest that Zoisite send one of his monsters to keep an eye on Neprite. And then so Zoisite summons Yasha.
Yes. Yasha, who's just sulking in the shadows at first and just says, yes, I'm a spy.
Yeah, we don't really get a good look at her at this point, but we do later on. And then we're at Naru's apartment building, and Usagi is hesitant to ring the buzzer. She doesn't want to confront Naru, and she says, "I changed my mind. That sort of thing happens." And Luna says, "It happens all the time with you." Luna always has a snarky remark for Usagi.
I mean, I feel like at this point, Luna definitely knows Usagi pretty well, having, lived with her. That I feel like this little snarky comment is almost, it's not as egregious as some of the other ones, because it's pretty Usagi. It's pretty on brand.
Yeah. And so then instead of ringing the buzzer to talk to Naru, she has this brilliant idea to go talk to Motoki.
Of course.
And so then that leads us into Game Center Crown.
Oni-san will know what to do. Motoki Oni-san! But what happens when she approaches, Motoki is with another customer and seems to be dun-dun-dun flirting? But Motoki Oni-san can't flirt with anybody but Usagi. How could this be?
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's great. All he's doing is helping this girl with the game, like helping her progress in the video game. And Usagi's reading into it that he's flirting with her.
She's devastated.
Now here's the thing, is that in the previous episode, Usagi just had her first kiss with tuxedo mask, and she's over here sweating, and she's over here sweating Motoki. I mean,
listen,
show a little loyalty.
She has loyalty. She has loyalty for both Motoki Onii-san and Tuxedo Mask. Right. She's a girl with a lot of love to give, and she can't just pin it down to one person. At
Fair
least,
enough.
Not as far
so
as
she's
we
sitting
know.
There freaking out about. Yeah, she's sitting there freaking out about Motoki, and Mamoru walks up behind her, and Usagi says, kind of under her breath, "I can smell you."
in the
and Mamoru
dub, it says, "What's this creepy presence?" And he just like appears out of nowhere.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. And Mamoru's like, "How's it going, Bunhead?" And he's like, "Hey, Motoki, Little Miss Bunhead is getting all puffy because she's being ignored by you." And Usagi's like, "He's lying. I'm not puffy at all." Motoki's done with the shift, and he invites Usagi out for coffee. And Mamoru just says, "Coffee sounds good." And so she has no choice but to agree that that Mamoru can come along to the coffee shop. And she says to Motoki she has something she wants to talk to him about. And so then we cut to the coffee shop. At which point, Usagi explains the situation with Naru to the two of them. And Motoki advises her to wait.
And, yeah, just like Ami-chan. She is like,
Just like Ami-chan, yep.
See it through. See what happens. And then
Mamoru says,
kernels of wisdom.
Yeah, he says, basically, he said, nothing gets done, by waiting. And then Motoki's like, Mamoru's probably right, that a true friend would tell her how she feels. And so that's basically what comes out of that. And so once Usagi makes a decision to go tell Naru the truth, then all of a sudden she's like, "Hey, I'm hungry." And she orders a whole bunch of food. I just think it's really funny. She orders a whole bunch of food. And Motoki's and Mamoru's like, "You got enough cash for this, Motoki?" Motoki's like, "I thought you were paying."
And then Usagi's like, "No, I'll pay."
"I'll pay." And then she adds a pizza to the to her order. After it's pretty funny.
I love Usagi. She's
and
so
then,
pure.
Then what happens after? I know I like that too. Then what happens after the coffee shop?
After that, she returns to Naru's apartment, and she is psyching herself up, and she's ready to go. Luna's not with her at this point, so she knocks on the door, rings the bell, waits for Naru to come answer the door. And Usagi breaks it down for her. She says, "Naru, you shouldn't be into this Masato Sanjuin. He's a bad guy. I know you think he's great, but I know some things about him that he's just bad news bears, and I don't want you to get hurt, and you should definitely not date him. You should put him out of your mind and move on." And then she goes, "Wow, I feel so much better that I've told you this now. I feel so much better. Thank you so much. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow," and then leaves. Without waiting for Naru's response, without discussing
well,
it.
Yeah,
further.
Naru's like, Naru listens to her, and she's like, but why should I? Why should
Usagi's
I?
He's like,
avoid
okay,
him?
See you later.
And Usagi's already down the hallway walking away.
Yeah.
And she says,
she does not want
just
to
give
have
up on him. Okay. Bye. Yeah.
We'll see you later.
No, that's what this whole thing is. This whole thing has been about that it's been awkward for Usagi to confront Naru with this information. And so this has been all about her avoiding doing what she knew all along that the right thing to do was to tell her, it was to confront her about this. And, and she knows that Naru doesn't want to hear it. And so, she got up the courage to tell her, that, to avoid him, and she says he's not even human, but then she retracts that. She's like, "No, wait, I didn't mean that," and then
so she's so good at information.
So it's a win in the fact that Usagi went and rang on Naru's doorbell and told her that he's a bad guy. But it's a big fail as far as caring about Naru's response to that information.
And yeah, you know,
there
Usagi...
was no why. Right. She doesn't explain why he's a bad guy. And so, yeah. You know.
She's just like, trust me, he's a bad guy. I know for sure. He definitely is. Yeah. You should trust me about my opinions right. on this guy that you're interested in without me having to explain why. Anyways, love you.
Right. And as your friend, you should just trust me. You know, that's it. And so we cut to Usagi's bedroom. And Luna's like, I see you told Naru the truth. And Usagi said, yep, I finally got up the courage to go talk to her. And Luna says, so how did she take it? And Usagi's like, huh? And Luna says, are you trying to tell me you told her that her guy was an evil creep and then just left? Are you serious? You didn't stick around to explain?
And Usagi's like, oh, yeah. Ha ha.
I didn't. But I'm sure she understands.
Naru and I have so many years together. There's no way she could possibly not know what I was talking about. And she totally gets it. And everything's cool. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, Usagi.
And so we cut back to now we're in Naru's bedroom. And Naru's yes. wondering why Usagi would say all these things about Mr. Santorin. And then she imagines Mr. Santorin's image. And she's like, oh, Mr. Sanjuin, I wish I could see you right now. And then the phone rings at Naru's house.
Ring, ring, ring,
and
ring,
I just
ring.
It made me think for a minute. Made me think for a minute about how like how my son isn't gonna remember landlines. You know what I mean?
It's
like
true.
The phone
yeah.
rings at Naru's house and Naru's mom answers it and calls to Naru that she has a phone call. And then Naru has to leave her bedroom. Go downstairs and pick up the phone and answer the phone.
Yep.
That's not how it is anymore.
No,
remember that?
Definitely not.
We had two phones yes. in my house. When I was growing up, we had an upstairs phone and a downstairs phone. And I kid you not, the downstairs phone was a rotary phone. We had a rotary phone until the 80s. Yes.
That's yep. impressive. That is very impressive.
It was in the laundry room. It had a long cord, so I'd like lay on a pile of dirty clothes and talk on the phone.
I mean, you know, you do what you got to do to be comfortable.
How
you
old
can't
are
just
kids?
Go...
How old are kids?
You can't just go out on a walk when you're talking to somebody. You got to wait.
Wait, you couldn't back then, that's for sure.
Oh, heck no.
Anyway, so Naru picks up the phone, and it's Neprite, and he says that Naru's like, wow, our minds are so connected, because she was just sitting there thinking about him, and now all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's Mr. Sanjuin, and Naru agrees to meet Neprite at Sanjuku. How do you say it? Sanjuku Park. Is that right?
Sanjuku? I think it was Sanjuku.
Sankaku. It's Kaku. Sankaku.
Kaku, yes.
Yep. There's no J.
I didn't write down the name of the park, so I was going on guess.
You were just guessing. Yep. Yeah. So then Naru tells her mom she's going out for a little while, and Naru's mom's like, what, right now? And
it's so late in the
Naru
day. Why are you going
outside.
Out now?
Yeah. And Naru's mom has a pretty worried look on her face at that point.
Yeah. Mama Osaka is
like, what's going on?
We get,
she's like, she got a phone call from, you know, from a boy, a strange man. And then she goes out late at night. She's leaving. Because it's like nighttime. I think at this point, I don't think it's really.
Yeah, it's like getting close to bedtime, from my understanding.
Yeah, yeah, and then so then that's it. We're halfway through. We go to break, and then Sailor Moon come back from break, and we're at the park, and Neprite and Naru are sitting on a park bench, And Netflix says, sorry to drag you out at such a late hour. And I was like, oh, it's fine. I was so happy when you called. And Netflix's like, well, I came here to say goodbye. And I was like, what? Oh, I see. I must be a real nuisance. Is that it?
Yeah.
And
I was like, no, Naru, of course you're not a nuisance. And then, excuse me, ma'am, you are a lovely, wonderful human being, and how dare you think that you're a nuisance? That's what I want to say to her. Because Naru is lovely. Fuck Nephrite for making her feel like a nuisance.
She's so sad when she delivers that line that I must be a real nuisance. Mr. Sandrine explains that he's being threatened by bad people and he doesn't want to put her in danger.
I mean, of course.
And he says, glad I got to see you one last time. And Naru stands up and she's like, wait, if there's anything I could do to help you, please tell me now. And
he's like, oh, but actually there is. See, I don't want to involve you, but I just need the Ginzuisho, you know. If only I could find the Ginzuisho, this beautiful crystal that I need to stop everything. The Ginzuisho. Do you know of that,
and so
Naru?
That triggers a memory in Naru's mind of a crystal that her mother showed her. She told her it was a very rare crystal, and it shone like silver. It was a crystal that shone like silver. Naru gets it in her head that might be the crystal that Mr. Sandrine is looking for. She tells him to wait there, and she runs off. And then Naru just kind of gets this diabolical look on his face.
Yeah.
And a moth burns in
evil ambiance.
I know, yes. I wrote that down too. Moth dies touching the light. So then we see Naru fumbling around with a set of keys at her mom's jewelry store, and she's trying to open up a safe. We don't really open a safe with keys. It's a locked cabinet. So Naru reaches in and grabs this round jewel, and at the very moment she grabs it, the lights come on, and her mom is there, and she's like, Naru, what are you doing?
Naru, I don't like how you're acting.
I gotta go. And
bye, Mom. I'm sorry.
Nat, what are you doing? And Naru's just like, I gotta go. Naru. And she bolts.
Yeah. All right.
So then Naru runs off.
Mama Osaka. Yeah, Naru runs off. Mama Osaka is devastated. She doesn't know what to do. She's really, really worried about her daughter. So much so that she goes out to look for her.
Right. And so we see that Luna and Usagi are searching for Naru, it turns out. Usagi's like, I don't know about this. And Luna says, don't you want to know about Naru's feelings? And besides, we're in this mess because you failed to handle this like you promised. And Usagi's like, hey, I did the best I could. And at that point, they run into Naru's mom.
Yes.
And Naru's mom asks if they've seen Naru. She explains that Naru took a valuable stone from the store and ran off. And Usagi asks.
And then mentions that she got a call from Masato Sanjuine and just bolted. And now she's really worried. And Usagi is like, don't worry. We got this, Mama Osaka. We will find Naru. And like runs off. And while she's off looking for Naru, in the middle of running around, she transforms. She's no business. No funny business. She's getting it started. She is pissed off that Nephrite has manipulated her best friend. It's go time, baby.
So when Usagi tells Naru's mom that she's gonna look for, you know, she's on the mission. It turns into a really stylized kind of animation where the street gets really dark and it's just Usagi and Luna frantically running. And it's like a montage of streets, like they're running down many streets looking for Naru. And then Luna tells her to transform into Sailor Moon, and which she does. Moon Prism Power Makeup. And then we cut to Sakaku Park, and Neprite touches a dark crystal to the crystal Naru took from the jewelry store, and nothing happens. And he's like, the dark crystal isn't reacting. It's just an ordinary crystal. And Naru says to herself, thank goodness I was able to help him out. But then all of a sudden, the dark crystal sparkles in Naru's direction. And Neprite says, the dark crystal is reacting to this girl. But why? Perhaps this girl can still be of some use to me. He refers to her as this girl.
Because she loves you. She thinks you're cute. She wants
Neprite, she's got a name, okay?
All a bad idea. Yeah. Okay.
Her name is Naru. Yeah, her name is Naru, Neprite. Not this girl. And
exactly. She has a name.
So Neprite puts his hand on Naru's shoulder.
She has a last name. She has an established family.
And he says, so Neprite puts his hand on Naru's shoulder and says, there's something else I want to help you out. I want you to help me with. Could you come with me for a little bit? It seems like he's putting a move on her. I think Naru thought that, you know, there's something else I want you to help me out with. I think she thought there's going to be some canoodling, that she was going to be getting some action.
Yeah.
And
no, I was like, it's time. Just agrees, my love is real.
And they start walking. Yep. And
and then we
see Yasha lurking nearby, and then Sailor Moon shows up, and she's like, hold it right there. How dare you take advantage of a young girl's love?
How dare you?
I'll arrest you for your sneaky scam. And
doggone right.
Neprite's like, you better back off. And then Sailor Moon does her whole pitch. I'm the pretty guardian who fights for love and for justice. And then Naru says, Sailor Moon, why are you here? And Sailor Moon says, don't be fooled by him. Masato Sanjuin is Neprite, a member of the Dark Kingdom. And Naru says, no way, you're lying. He isn't that type of person. He's very kind. Right, Mr. Sanjuin? And then Naru sees the evil in Neprite's eyes, and and in a questioning tone, she's like, "Mr. Sanjuin." So she notices.
It is never
that,
a good sign if you're about to meet someone evil when you have to say their name twice. That's always bad news bears.
Yep, and then Neprite proceeds to knock Sailor Moon down by casting a white ball of energy, and Neprite says, "Stars of the universe, lend me your power now." And white balls rain down on Sailor Moon from above. And Sailor Moon stays down and cries. And Luna yells, pull it together, Sailor Moon. And then Neprite says, I'm done playing games with you. Starlight attack. And he casts a shockwave that digs a trench as it travels and hits Sailor Moon. She manages to avoid the brunt of it by scurrying backwards. And you know what I mean? So she like casts this shockwave at her, and it digs a trench in the concrete, and she just stays out of the line of the shockwave by scurrying backwards.
And yeah, she does.
Says,
the,
may
she
have
does
dodged
the,
that one, but
the back scoot, you if you will, where she pushes only with her feet. Sailor Moon stable. She's very good at. She's perfected that. I think it's her signature move. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's copyrighted.
It's her dodge.
Yeah.
So the next time you're through, and then Neprite says, "Once again, I call on you," and then we hear, "Ugh, you're so pathetic," and then get up, Sailor Moon. And who is it?
Hell yeah! It's my girls! It's Mercury and Mars showing up for the crew. Luna must have called them. Yes, you know it's going down now. My girls!
Now, how did Luna... we got to talk about this. How did Luna get in touch with them? Luna was running down the street with Sailor Moon. And she told Sailor
Maybe
Moon to transform.
She also told
how
Sailor
would Luna
Moon
get in touch
to pull
with,
out her
with
little
Mars?
Communicator. Maybe.
And they just forgot to include
Okay. Of course. It's implied that a distress signal went out.
Too many times.
How else would they know?
Too many times Mars and Mercury show up at just the right time when they haven't had an appropriate amount of time to, you know, how did they know to go to that part? You know, anyway.
Maybe, I'm going to say Mars is psychic. Mars is psychic, so she knows where Sailor Moon is. She follows the bad vibes.
Okay.
No, you don't like that excuse? I'm just saying. I'm just coming up with things. It's magic.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. So Nephrite says, all three guardians showed up. Now I get to get rid of you all at once. And in response to that, Mercury casts a bubble spray. Mars casts a fire soul, which Nephrite dodges.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then Sailor Moon casts a Moon Tiara action, and she does her whole wind up, and then stops.
That's beautiful.
And then throws the tiara. I don't know why she doesn't take advantage of the centrifugal force of her spinning around and throw the tiara at the end of her spin. Mm-hmm. Why it's so annoying to me that she stops and then
magic.
And then throws it with a slip of the wrist. So the tiara is heading for Nephrite, and all of a sudden Nari steps right in front of it, at which point everybody involved says, "What are you doing?"
And Nephrite is absolutely floored.
Yeah.
He's like, "Why didn't you leave? Why are you still here? Why are you defending me? What is going on? Does this girl really feel like this towards me? This is kind of weird."
Yeah. And Nari says, "I won't let anyone hurt Mr. Sanjuine." And Sailor Moon quickly calls out, "Tiara attack, stop now." And it does. It stops spinning and drops to the ground in front of Nari.
It's good to know that she has
level of
control.
Stop trying to hurt Mr.
Her.
I know. I like that. Yeah. So. Tiara attack, stop now.
Quit it. Stop it.
So Nari says, "Stop trying to hurt Mr. Sanjuine." And Sailor Mercury says, "We can't let him get away with what he's done." And Mars says, "Now move out of the way." And Nari says, "Never. You'll have to kill me to get to him." And Nephrite says to himself,
"Nari,
why is she doing this for me?" And Sailor Mercury says, "Why are you risking so much to protect that man?" And Nari says,
Because I love him.
I love him with all my heart, and I'll defend him, even if it winds up costing me my life. So,
it's very
I love him. I love him with
Disney
all my
princess
heart.
Princess coded. No, father, I love him. I'm fully grown. I understand.
At that point, Sailor Moon gets a very sympathetic.
Please don't murder him.
And Sailor Moon gets a very sympathetic look on her face when Nari discloses this information, that she loves him and she loves him with all her heart. Sailor Moon gets a very sympathetic look on her face. And she's just like, "Oh, Nari." And then all of a sudden, the dark crystal starts to shimmer. And Nephrite says, "Does this mean the dark crystal also responds to kind hearts as well? The sacrificing of oneself for another? I think this could be what humans call love." So, Nephrite's getting a little lesson in love from Nari.
Did we just confirm then that Nephrite is not human?
Right.
If he doesn't understand love like humans do?
Right. He's not non-human. I figured as much. So at this point, Yasha sees Nephrite holding the shimmering crystal. And she says to herself, "Is that the legendary silver crystal?" She flies in and attacks Nephrite, knocking the dark crystal to the ground. Now, Yasha is kind of dressed in like a folk garment and has a porcelain mask on that makes her look almost like a geisha, the porcelain mask does.
Yeah.
So the dark crystal gets knocked to the ground. Nari picks it up, and Yasha says, "Hand that over to me." And Yasha moves to attack Nari, and And Nepra casts a white energy ball at Yasha, shattering her geisha mask. Yep, shatters a geisha mask. And Sailor Moon says, I can't believe it. He saved her. And Naru says to herself, Mr. Sanjuine, he protected me from that monster. And then, of course, Naru faints because that's what she does best. And these
she's really good at it. She's really good at
she's
it.
She's super good.
She's
at
like a fainting goat in
that's
that
her
way.
Special skill.
Yeah, she's
that's her like, bubble spray.
Exactly.
I love fainting goats. By the way, they're the best.
Yes, they're so good.
That was one of the best. That was one of the best days of my life when I found the fainting goat video on YouTube. That was,
that was so solid. It's so solid.
Yeah. So at this point, Yasha is revealed to be a white-faced demon with horns that spiral like drills. And Yasha says, curse you, Nephrite. Why are you protecting a human? And Yasha goes to attack Nephrite again. And she says, traitors like you must die. So Sailor Moon must have moved right next to Maru and picked up her tiara because she casts another MTA, this time on Yasha.
Unless, of course, it's like, you know, like one of those things where she casts it, the MTA, and then when it's over, like her tiara just, like, there's a cooldown, but then it respawns on her head.
Oh, that could be.
That's my theory.
Good point. Yeah. All right. Very good. Well, this time the MTA lands and Yasha disappears. Curse you. Curse you all. Nephrite places the crystal that was stolen from the jewelry store into Naru's hand. And Sailor Moon says, hold it, Nephrite. Why can't you try to understand the feelings Naru has for you? And Nephrite says, what? Do you remember? He says, I did save her.
I don't.
That's his. Yeah.
That's right. The only thing I have written down there is, do you even have a heart?
Yeah.
Because that is something that gets said to him. He's like, they're like, do you even have a heart?
Yeah.
Ah, of course not. And, I'm too pompous. And look at my beautiful hair.
Says, that's it? You really don't have anything else to say? Have you ever thought of... Yeah, have you ever thought of anyone else's feelings? And Sailor Mars says, I guess you can't when you have no heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, then Nephrite does a little monologuing, which, you're all so naive. Mm-hmm. When I finally get a hold of the silver crystal, the entire universe will belong to the Dark Kingdom. And then Sailor Moon says, the silver crystal? What are you talking about? And then Luna says to herself, the silver crystal? Why does that sound so familiar? I'll tell you why, Luna. Because in the last episode, you just were at the Princess of Diamonds looking for the silver crystal. That's why it sounds so familiar.
Yeah.
And that's both in the sub and in the dub. Luna says that to herself.
You got that quest where they talked about, you know, come on, Luna. You're always on Usagi for forgetting things. And now this. Seriously.
When that was the dialogue in the dub, it cemented the fact that I was going to watch this all subtitled just to see that particular line. Because I wanted to make sure that that's actually what Luna says. And she does. She says it in the subtitled version, too.
I think that's familiar.
Why does that sound so familiar? And then I wrote, because you were just looking for it at the Kingdom of Diamonds in the previous episode.
Duh, Luna. Duh.
Yep. And so then Nephrite says, just know that you three won't be able to keep playing hero for much longer. But feel free to keep blabbering about your silly love and justice. Farewell. So,
and then he just disappears.
He's real salty. Yeah. Just in a big pile of salt. He was pretty salty at that point. And then Naru mumbles, Mr. Sanjuine.
And he's sad. And
Sailor Moon is rubbing Naru's head. And she pulls her hands together and she looks up to the sky and she sees a shooting star. And she says, shooting star, please hear my wish. If Nephrite really does love Naru, then don't let him be evil anymore.
Sailor Moon is coming around.
Sailor Moon is all about love. And
Hell
so
yeah, she is.
She, you know, if, If Nebret really does Naru, then don't let him be evil anymore. She's looking for a different way than to try and defeat Mr. Sanjuin. She's looking for a way for them to be together. Yeah.
Always. That's pretty. If there's something that we've established about Usagi and Sailor Moon in general, is that she wants the best outcome for everybody. And so she will do everything in her power to make sure that that best outcome occurs.
Yeah, and she's all about love. We know that as well.
Mm-hmm. Doggone right. Love and justice.
That concludes the episode.
Yeah.
However, we have to talk about some stuff.
Sure.
We didn't see in this episode. Number one, Tuxedo Mask. So
it was not in
This was in town, right? This episode happened nearby everything, in the middle of everything. So you can't tell me that Mamoru didn't get rainbow spaghetti when she transformed into Sailor Moon. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's like there's like a this is my theory. There's like a danger quota that has to be met. Sailor Moon wasn't really in much of danger. It was mostly Naru. So maybe it's like a Sailor Moon has to be in so much danger in order for Tuxedo Mask to be triggered. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying this is plausible.
They need to explain this better. But anyway. it's a big hole in the plot. Is what it is. You know, it's frustrating to me. All right. So now, I have written down here that why isn't Sailor Moon desperately seeking another encounter with Tuxedo Mask? You know what I mean? Why isn't she trying to, you know, why isn't she bummed out that he didn't show up? You know what I mean?
I think like, probably
normally
because
he shows up when there's a fight.
Well, it depends. There have been other times where he hasn't shown up and it's just been the girls. I feel like a lot of it is, hey.
But that was before the kiss. Now that the kiss has happened, I would think that she would be all about getting more Tuxedo Mask. But then I remembered that Tuxedo Mask didn't kiss Sailor Moon. Tuxedo Mask kissed a princess. You see what I'm saying? In Tuxedo Mask's mind, he didn't make out with Sailor Moon. So that wouldn't necessarily be a motivation for him to go when he gets summoned by the rainbow spaghetti headache. You know what I
Maybe.
Mean? He thinks he's in love with a princess.
Yeah, he's out
he doesn't
there.
Think he's in love with it.
He's out there on the 1990s version of Tender looking for a princess.
Yeah, because, he doesn't think that he made out with Sailor Moon. Now, Sailor Moon knows that Tuxedo Mask kissed her, but she's also got to, she has to keep that in mind. She didn't, Tuxedo Mask didn't kiss Sailor Moon. Tuxedo Mask kissed a princess that she was disguised as. So, you know, just check your head, Sailor Moon. Tuxedo Mask may not have feelings for you. He may have feelings for the princess you disguised yourself as.
He just might. I mean, there's a lot to be dissected there, for sure.
Yeah. So.
And he's not even there to defend himself.
I hope they do a better job of explaining all this. When the reveal comes, when Usagi finds
what
out
reveal?
That Tuxedo Mask
there's no
is,
reveal
is Mamoru,
happening.
They
oh, I guess they
be.
Do have
it
to find
to
that out at
coming.
Some point. You're right.
I don't know Silly. When, but it has to be. It has to be coming at some point.
Yeah.
we the audience can't know that for very long without her knowing it. It's just not right. I hate when shows do that.
It's true. And
when we have this.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. When the audience
it will,
has this
it will happen.
Information.
That's all I'll say is it will happen.
Okay. That's what I figured. Yeah, I figured it would. It has to. I mean, otherwise, you know. Now, mind you, they did go ahead and get the kiss out of the way early on. It wasn't like Moonlighting where we had to wait three seasons for them to hook up. You know what I mean? they did get the.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Moonlighting with Bruce Willis?
I did not, but my father adamantly tells me that's I'm named after one of the people from there. My mom does not agree with him. She says that I'm named after. My mom says I'm named after Madeline Books about the little French girl in the orphanage, and then my dad says I'm named after the character from Moonlighting. So you know, whoever you want to believe in that moment. When I'm around my dad, I believe his story. When I'm around my mom, I believe her story.
Well, you know what? They could probably both be telling the truth based on what their motivation for the name was. You know, they ended up agreeing on the name, but for different reasons. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true.
So
that's very true.
So anyway, in Moonlighting, there was all this romantic tension between the two main characters, and they didn't hook up for at least a couple of seasons. It just dragged it out forever. You know, that they were obviously, you know, they were obvious, you know, and so we had to deal with several seasons of them pretending to not like each other and ignoring the fact that they were in love with each other. And so when they finally did get together, it was a huge relief.
Yeah.
It was a huge relief. And then the show really lost everything after they got together. Because the whole show was about the tension between the two. Yeah. Once they hooked up, then the tension was gone. And there was all of the funny stuff and all the witty dialogue and all of the crazy, you know, misunderstandings that would happen between them. All that was gone because now they're together. So that was me learning about TV writing. And how powerful the writers are in TV was that TV show. It was kind of my introduction to the power of writers when it comes to a TV show. Yeah,
for sure. That's why the writer's strike was so rough, and why we got so many weird pieces of media during it.
Right. Now with movies, it's the director is the person who has the greatest influence on the final outcome of the product. But when it comes to TV shows, it's the writers. Because TV shows, the director frequently changes from episode to episode. TV show, like, if they have a 26-episode contract for, you know, for the season, you could have 26 directors. But they usually don't have that many. Usually, you know, they have directors kind of recycle through. The director will do an episode, and then they'll prep for a couple of weeks for another episode, and they'll be the director a couple of weeks later.
Yeah,
is generally how it goes in TV.
It's like a director pool.
The writers are the ones who have
rotate.
The writers have all the power in TV. They make all the decisions.
Hell yeah! Yep.
All right, so that's the end of this episode.
And next episode we get some
very.
Next episode's intense. This is an intense one.
Well, it has to be. Given it's next episode of season
title.
1, episode 24, Naru's Tears, Nephrite Dies for Love. I can't wait. I can't wait to see if this is what it says it is. Nephrite Dies for Love. I don't think Nephrite's a stand-up comedian in this episode, and that he can't make the audience laugh. And that's what they're, you know, because when that happens, it is said that you died. If you can't make the audience laugh, I think this
definitely
is something
not
different
that.
Than that.
This is definitely something different than that. Yeah.
So Nephrite dies for love.
It is intense.
For love of
I'm
who?
Very excited. I'm very
for
excited
love of
that we got into this episode. Yeah, clearly. Nephrite and Joycite, secretly a thing.
Yeah.
No, this is a great episode. And then the episode after this one is also great. It's doing a thing that happens in the first season of the original anime, where you go Moon, Mars, or Moon, Mercury, Mars, and they're together and they're their own little thing, and then they have a whole bunch of stuff together. And then after Nephrite goes, things just start popping off.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like I said, this is, and you know it's true because this is, this episode is halfway through the season. So we got 23 more episodes till the end of the first season, and woohoo! I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Well, and so I'm kind of wondering if Zoysite is, this is just, you know this, of course, because you've seen it, but I'm wondering if Zoysite is going to have his time where he's fighting the scouts, or if we're just going to move pretty much straight into Kunzite. I'm interested to see what they're going to do there.
Some of my favorite silly episodes that aren't in the manga come up soon, and they're just, I'm just thinking of this one. I'm not even going to say anything about it. It's just one of my favorite episodes in this entire season.
Are they as silly as the Haunted House one? Because the Haunted House one was pretty silly.
Yes. The one that I'm thinking of specifically, 10,000% as silly as the Haunted House one. So.
Oh, by the way, did you like the title that I gave to that for the download? It's a ghoul summer. Leaving me here
yes,
on my
I
own.
Yes, I loved it.
Did you catch a reference to Bananarama?
I did. I did.
Thank you.
I was very pleased.
That's all I wanted to do.
Yay! I appreciate a good reference.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about social media?
Yes. Hi. Welcome. So we have, of course, our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/AcrossTheMooniverse. We post every episode that we have up there. Sometimes I share little shitpost factoids and whatnot. We are moving away from X/Twitter, and I will be getting us a Blue Sky account here in the near future so that we will begin posting on Blue Sky, which is basically a better Twitter. So yeah, we'll be setting that up, and then I will have that handle out to you guys next time. But as always, you can get at us with hashtag MooniCast, and we will be back next time. And of course, our website as well, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. Yay. And at some point, I will get more up-to-date pictures of us on there. At some point.
All right. Very good, everybody.
I need to add a little more flavor to our website. It needs to be a little more us.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Goodbye.